I speak to you in the name of the one who says to us, fish again. Amen. Clarence Earl Gideon was already in deep water. Most of his life, he had been in trouble of one sort or another. From the time he ran away from home at 14, Clarence had run from one job to another. But he wasn't trying out jobs, he was trying out jails. It's not that Clarence was a professional criminal or a man of violence. He just could not seem to settle down to work. And so he had made his way by gambling and occasional thefts. But on January 8, 1962, Clarence Earl Gideon was in deep water. 5 months earlier, he had been convicted of petty larceny, a misdemeanor under Florida law, and sentenced to 5 years at the state prison. Although this sentence was just the latest in a lifetime of such judgments, something touched Clarence, and he set out into even deeper water. During his recent trial, he had been denied the help of a lawyer. As a poor man, he asked the judge to appoint a lawyer to help him. However, the judge said that Florida law did not require the court to appoint a lawyer to assist a poor defendant. So Clarence was quickly tried and convicted by a jury of 6 men. Clarence knew that he had done his best in court. He knew that many of his convictions were appropriate. He, in fact, was guilty. But this time he wasn't. So he also knew that the lawyer would have gotten him a fairer trial. He thought that basic fairness of the U.S. Constitution was on his side. A man's chance in court should not suffer because he is poor. Like his biblical namesake, Gideon, remember, who was told by God to get the torches and cover them with pots, and then at the appropriate time blow the trumpets and shout and surprise the Midianites and win against them. Like his biblical namesake Gideon, Clarence Gideon was up against atrocious odds. Nevertheless, with no greater chance of success than biblical Gideon held against the Midianites, Clarence sent a letter to the United States Supreme Court asking the court to review his case. Written in pencil on lined prison paper, this petition, called a pauper's request, stood less than a 3% chance of being granted by the court. If he remembered Gideon's story from his Baptist Sunday school days, Clarence might have found himself wanting to add to his petition, "But, sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." If you were looking for a hero, Clarence Earl Gideon would be your last choice. Not even stirred up by the impetuous energy of Simon Peter, Clarence had stumbled through life, drifting along near the bottom, uninspiring and unheroic. But I would like to lift him up today as an icon of unexpected success in the face of persistent failure and impossible odds. Along with Gideon, who reluctantly followed God's call, and Simon Peter, who finally cast the net on the other side after a long night of no fish, Clarence pushed ahead, helped along by serendipitous law clerks, attorneys, and justices. In his own forum, this pale and prematurely aged prisoner defeated the armies of Midianites and hauled in nets full of fish. In the language of the liturgy today, we are offered a strange promise of hope and frustration. It is clear that all power comes from God. With only 300 men and clever theatrics, Gideon routed the enemy, and the victory was the Lord's. After a night of fruitless fishing, Simon Peter followed the command of Jesus, and the boat began to sink under the weight of the fish. But it was never just a matter of willpower. And here, the gospel sounds against our culture. Our dominant cultural myth says that you could do or be whatever you set your mind to if you just try hard enough. But hard work often fails. Willpower is not infallible. And the most thorough planning and the cleverest strategy often fall short. Sometimes the side with inferior troops is crushed. Sometimes further fishing is pointless. Sometimes a carefully penned petition to the court is denied. If I knew when stepping into deeper water would yield success or failure, I'd own the world. But that foresight is denied us. We can only trust that the voice calling us out is the voice of God and not the trumpet of folly. Tarius Gideon won his case. It's a famous case because the time was right and a great lawyer helped him. The Supreme Court agreed that under the Constitution, every person accused of a crime is entitled to the help of a lawyer. Clarence was given a new trial where he won his freedom. You may be beating out wheat by the wine press, hiding from your enemies when the Lord calls your name. You may be exhausted from a long night of empty nets when the Lord says, put out again into the deep. I suspect that often we don't trust enough to hear the voice of God. From C.S. Lewis's magnificent allegory, Pilgrim's Regress, comes this guidance. I have come to give myself up, he said. It is well, said Mother Kirk. You have come a long way round to reach this place whither I would have carried you in a few moments. But it is very well. What must I do, said John. You must take off your rags, said she, as your friend has done already, and then you must dive into this water. Alas, said he, I've never learned to dive. There's nothing to learn, said she. The art of diving is not to do anything new, but simply to cease doing something. You have only to let yourself go. Amen.